Ein herzliches Willkommen zum Burak New Business Advice Podcast, dem Podcast rund um das Thema Neukundengeschäft und Agenturpositionierung. Willkommen zu diesem Podcast. Heute wollen wir nochmal so ein bisschen internationaler sein. Und deswegen bin ich mit einem Kollegen aus Südafrika verbunden. Celizio Rangaka, was is correct? It doesn't sound really so.
Heiko, it was 95% correct. So it is Cediso.
Okay.
And there's a trick in the name. So the L-I, you actually pronounce D-I.
Next time I will probably be right.
It took me 40 years to figure that out. So don't worry. Don't feel too bad.
Okay. You're working as a chief creative officer in an agency in, you're in Johannesburg at the moment, right?
Yeah, in Johannesburg, at FCB.
At FCB, right. So, and you were at the last Cannes Creativity Festival Juro, right?
Yes, I had the privilege of being jury president for the radio and audio category at last year's Cannes Festival.
All right. How was your experience? Was this your first time in Europe or?
No. I'd been to Cannes before, but it was the first time as a, well, as a jury president, that's for sure. I will say that the experience is very different when you are on the program versus when you are going to experience it, you know, on the other side. So, you know, it is very well organized and you have to be at certain places at a certain time. So it was very much, very much structured. And the judging process itself was quite enjoyable. The jury that I worked with were very good. The work was great, which helps. It makes everything better. So I really enjoyed that experience. Yeah.
Did you learn something for your work at home?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, every year there's a lot that one, you know, brings back. I think sometimes the trick is to see which of those things one can try and implement as opposed to trying everything. But I think, you know, the biggest thing, which was, I suppose, the one of the main themes was technology and creativity and you know, the tussle between the two and just how, you know, technology is never the idea. It's a way to implement the idea. And sometimes we forget that as creative people. So that was one of the big learnings. Mm-hmm. But also in radio and audio, you know, the thing was, you know, how do we involve the, you know, the audience more in the work that we create? And how do we make it more of a dialogue rather than a, you know, a push broadcast? Those are the two.
I think my problem with radio advertising is that I see that I feel that the people just shout me. Shout me and tell me, we have a better price and go to this shop tomorrow, then you will have the best price you can get. And they never can do this in a normal voice, and it's always very loud. That is from my point of view. I guess 80% of the advertising in the radio. And I really don't like it.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's one of the points I made, you know, when I was presenting to, you know, my industry peers around radio, I was going, well, South Africa is one of the best when it comes to radio. But how do we
Why is that?
It's the stories that we're able to tell. There's a lot of, you know, cultural nuance that is able to come through in the work. And I think we've had to be able to balance, you know, local relevance with, I suppose, a global, I'll say, consciousness. So, you know, presenting something that, for example, you would understand, even though you don't understand a South African context, but because we're couching it in a way that is novel to you, we tend to break through. But the problem is that, as you say, 90% of South African radio is just that, people shouting. And my question was, how do we change that? How do we make radio the kind of radio that we hear at award shows like Cannes? How do we make that the experience for everyday people, you know, listening to the radio? And that's the challenge.
Did you find an answer?
There was a lot of stunned faces and a lot of nodding. And I think, I kind of know, you know, sometimes the medium gets left behind, if you know what I mean. Because radio is no longer seen as the shiny thing, which is unfortunate because it is still one of the most intimate, you know, mediums we have, right?
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think if it's done well, having a voice talk to you and tell you something that you didn't know or entertain you or make you laugh, and also allow you to call in and say something, you know, you don't get that with other mediums. Social media, you know, is restricted in what you can do. There's no nuance, and that's part of the problem with it. But radio, we've been listening to radio all our lives as human beings, I think, listening to each other's voices. And I think, you know, if we treat the medium with more respect, I think more people will come back to it.
Are you really listening to radio, or is it in your background? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have shows that I listen to. I typically listen to, say, the news. And if there's something, you know, if there's a DJ that plays my, you know, my preference of music or my style of music, I'll put that on. Most people listen to the radio as background. And again, you know, there are less people listening to the radio now because there's podcasts and all of that. But South Africa has one of the biggest radio listenerships in the world still. We have a radio station, Ukhozi FM, which is probably the second largest, has probably the second largest audience in the world. So we're still a very big radio nation in that respect.
How did you like Cannes as a part of France, so to say? No, Cannes is not France, and France is not Europe, but anyway, it's quite different here.
They're very different. I think it's a very beautiful place, right? And I think it changes. I'd very much like to go there if I can afford to, when the Cannes advertising festival is gone, and just try and experience the place on its own. I did have the chance to spend a few days in Nice this time when I left, and it was a very different experience.
Where did you go to?
Nice.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because usually we fly in through Nice, and this time I decided, well, maybe there's something more than an airport at Nice.
Oh, really? Can be, yes.
And I discovered that, oh, wow, this is actually a very beautiful city with its own, you know, tempo. And it feels very different to Cannes. I think Cannes has a big buzz because, you know, all those creative minds are there. And there's, you know, there's a lot of activity happening. So it feels very festive. And but, you know, you drive out 30 minutes and it's a very different world. Still beautiful.
Yeah. How is the situation at the moment in South Africa? What I've heard is that the problem with still a dangerous place sometimes, three times there, never in Joburg, I have to say.
Yeah.
But it was very beautiful, but sometimes we had the advice not to go to this place or not to stay later than this time at this place and something like this, you know.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think we have a reputation for crime and violent crime at that. But my experience here, as a person living in South Africa, I've never been a victim of any kind of crime. And I think just like with any other place, there are places, you know, you probably should not go to.
But this will be your apartment in every bigger city. So this is quite normal, right?
Yeah, it is normal. But however, we do have a problem when it comes to, you know, policing. And there are other issues that play into it. So we've got one of the highest unemployment rates and of young people as well. So, 50% of the unemployed are young people, which is a problem because what happens to them 10 years down the line? That pressure comes out somewhere. And that's probably what's leading to the increasing stats in terms of crime. But by and large, if you do the reasonable thing, which is, you know, avoid scary, dark places and just try and, you know, have your wits about you, then you should be okay, unless it's organized crime, in which case there's really not much you can do about that.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit of communication and of advertising. Do you think you will lose your job in a few years because artificial intelligence will do it?
That is
a very serious question, you know.
I know it is. It's absolutely serious, and it is happening already. Not for my job, but there are parts of the, you know, the industry and the creative industries that are being affected by this. For example, people who used to do storyboards for television commercials. I remember we used to brief agencies that did this specially, and they would illustrate these beautiful things and sometimes render them in 3D. It would take 4 weeks with back and forth. And now my art director can do that in less than an hour. There are parts of the skill set that are getting quicker and are taken up by AI. I do think that AI still needs human guidance and human monitoring in a way. I don't think any AI can get inspired, for example, to come up with an idea. You know, the way I like to think of it is if you think of the creation story, the original creator, let's call that God.
And
God has an idea, right? And God says, let there be light. That's a prompt, right? Giving an instruction to something to produce that thing. And there was light. And after that, God looks at it and says, it's good, right? So there's also coming back to what AI has produced as a human being and going, as a creator, and going, I agree with what you're showing me, or I don't agree with it. I like it or I don't like it. And I think that's where creativity is going to be, you know, moving towards using AI as a very powerful tool to get to things that, you know, would take us a much longer time to achieve. But also we need to be able to, you know, to modify and audit the results that the AI comes up with, because I don't think AI itself audits as well as it could. So long-winded answer, not yet.
Not yet. So when you see this speed of how artificial intelligence was getting better in the last few years, I cannot see how it will be in 3 or 5 years from now on.
Absolutely. I mean,
this really scares me.
We can't imagine it. And Heiko, the thing is, we're all scared by it, but we have to make a choice.
Are we enough scared at the moment? I have the feeling that most of the people in the advertising agency still think, hey, artificial intelligence can never be really creative. So this will help me to do my job, but it will never getting better or of the same quality of work I can do. So I have at the moment the idea that people are not enough scared of what this will be in a few years.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I think there's an element of, you know, putting your head in the sand because you don't want to imagine the worst. And perhaps we are doing that, and my answer probably falls into that camp, right? But I think what we do need to do is not run away from it and rather embrace it, because, you know, there's always a line being drawn by technology. And somewhere along the line, you know, the people on that get left behind, you know, that they don't progress. So think about what happened when iTunes happened to the record companies, right? There was a line in the sand. When film photography was faced with digital photography, or when DVDs were now faced with streaming services, I think what, as scared as we are, we need to find a way to coexist with this thing and hopefully, you know, still have the upper hand. I mean, this is, yeah.
When a woman or a man is coming to you who is starting his or her career and asking you, should I work in advertising? This can be at the creative or at the account side of life. Would you say, yes, go? Or would you say, not yet?
I think there's still, you know, we still need human beings in advertising.
Writing prompts, or what should be their task?
Well, creative. Yeah. You know, there definitely are aspects of what we do that can be automated and will be automated. And I think what that gives us actually is time to do the other things. So, you know, time to think up, I suppose, better ideas, better connections, better ways to do certain things. Advertising has become very rushed, right? Because there's just more and more and more and more we have to do. And gone are the days when I started, I used to sit with a brief for about 2 weeks and just, you know, have time to think and have time to come up with these ideas and figure out what the actual problem is and how do we connect it, you know, solve the problem for the consumer. We don't have time to do that because I've got to churn out 10 banners by 3 o'clock. And I think for the time being, at least, AI needs, you know, it's going to be helping us do that through automation and through the tasks that can be automated. I see it as an intern. You know, I think of ChatGPT as a very smart intern in my department that I go, hey, Chat, how about you write me this thing? And then Chat goes away and comes back with something. But then I still have to look at it and edit it like any creative director would do, and correct Chat where I need to correct and change the tone where I need to change the tone. And I think that approach so far maybe has bought me 5 years. but
You're
we can't,
so optimistic.
Ab- we can't abandon the post.
You're so optimistic.
You can say I'm naive, but
no,
I
think... I mean what I said. It's optimistic,
yeah.
And that's a good end for this podcast. So very good. and I hope that somebody will pay you for the time you then have to think deeper, brief or whatever.
I think, you know what? I think there's value in that, and I know that, you know, because creativity has, especially in advertising, has become something of a commodity, right?
All right,
it's kind
yes.
of what,
yes,
what
of course. Do you have to deal with procurement in South Africa too?
Oh, absolutely.
Your friends from procurement, right? I see, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as the people with calculators move into the creative studio, then you know, the game has changed. And you know, we have to adapt our step, right?
See.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for the interview and for the chat. I really enjoyed it and really liked it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I hope to keep in touch, and I'll be following your podcast. I hope not all of them are in German, because my German is not really good at all.
You speak German, right?
No.
No.
I pick up some words, because Afrikaans is close to Dutch. And
right.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got that connection.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Über Feedback an heiko@burak.de freue ich mich.